Welcome to the European Social Networks podcast series. In this podcast, you will listen to the stories and voices from frontline social services across Europe. How are social services structured across European countries? What strategies do they have in place for transforming social services to adapt to the evolving needs of society? Or how can projects that focus on social inclusion be funded from European structural funds? These are just some snapshots of topics we are going to discuss in this podcast series. Hello, I'm Eleni Kefalinou, and I will be the new voice to keep you company on our new ESN podcast episodes for 2024. So, I would like to welcome you to the 7th episode of ESN Talks, our regular podcast to share insights on different aspects of social services policy and practice from across Europe. Before we start, a short introduction about the European Social Network. ESN is a growing community of more than 170 organizations with responsibility for social services from 34 countries. We provide an international platform for exchange and aim to empower professionals and those using social services. If you are curious to know more about us and what we do, you can visit our website at www.esn-eu.org. ESN Talks aims to highlight the incredible work professionals working in this area do to improve people's lives. In today's episode, we will be focusing at the Social Services Index, recently launched by ESN with the great support of our members. This is a tool that aims to understand and compare the situation of social services across European countries. Based on data collected, we have created national structured upon three pillars: social rights and policy, economic investment in social services, and social services coverage. The idea is to provide bottom-up recommendations from the perspective of social services to the European Commission, so that the Commission can include them in future reports to national governments. However, just for today, we are going to focus and explore in detail the social services landscape and policy making in Sweden. So today we have an ESN member with us to share and discuss about the results of the Social Services Index in Sweden and to help us a little bit understand better of how social services work and what recommendations they could share with us to aspire in other countries as well. So at this point, I would like to give a warm welcome to Graham Owen. He's a European representative at the Swedish Association of Directors of Social Services in Sweden. Hello, Graham. Welcome to this first episode for 2024. How are you today?
Hello, Eleni. Thank you for the introduction. I'm fine today. We're in the middle of our winter here, so we've had a snowstorm this morning and a little bit of chaos in the traffic, public transportation out on the roads, but that's sort of par for the course for the winter.
Sounds a bit cold there. I suppose we don't have much difference here in Brussels, actually, because we woke up today with a really rainy day. Anyway, I would like to take just a bit in the beginning to give you the floor again to introduce a little bit yourself to our listeners, who you are and what you're doing, just in a few words.
Putting it shortly, I'm a social worker who has also worked in Sweden for a long time as a director of social services. I'm now a former director because I'm no longer working full time. I've reached the retirement age. But I'm still active in issues of social policy and particularly in the field of European perspectives. I'm a representative for the Association of Directors of Social Services here in Sweden, as you said, on European matters, and also a board member of ESN, the European Social Network.
Thank you very much for that introduction. Moving on, as I introduced also before, we are here to talk about the Social Service Index, the tool that recently ESN introduced and launched, and which talks about the social services landscape in Sweden. For this tool, I know that you also have greatly helped to collect all this data. What I want to do here today is a little bit discuss about some intriguing findings that emerge from this report, such, for example, the absence of a centralized registry for people with disabilities, which can make it challenging to determine the exact total number. How does this impact the planning and provision of support services for people with disabilities?
I'd just like to start by saying that this is the first time that the Social Service Index has been applied. This is the first time that we've tried to produce this index covering all countries in Europe. And I think it's important to underline that it's a work in progress. I think we've learned a lot from having this work done for the first time. And we've realized that there's going to be need for adaptations. The information that's been provided to a structure that hopefully would cover all countries, but I think we've understood now as well that there's a need to modify this structure in the future. And that's why I think I can say that the absence of the registry that we provided information on, I mean, it's not absolutely critical here in Sweden as far as the planning process is concerned, because planning for services, planning for infrastructure for people with disabilities, it's a complex process and it depends on so many factors. So merely the existence of a registry isn't the only thing to be considered. I mean, there's a need for looking at the demographic changes. There's a need for looking at how support services have developed. I think there's also a connection between if you can start early, if you can provide preventive services, then that maybe reduces the need for more extensive services later. So the planning process is a very complicated process, which isn't just dependent on a registry. There are a large number of databases here where you can collect information on the type of services that are provided, the type of measures that are taken. And I think we have a great deal of information, but what is needed is to have a national database in general. And I'd also like to add that in planning services, there's also the need to coordinate with other services, because it's not just social services that are needed. There are other services like education and health services. And so this coordination between different authorities is a very important part of planning.
So you would say that more of a challenge is the coordination between different departments. Are there any other challenges that you think that people in this sector, they face?
We're a country of 290 municipalities. Some of those municipalities are very small. Some of them are much larger. We also have challenges about providing support, providing services, maybe in municipalities that have got a very small population. How can you provide services when you only have a small target group? And I think you need to look at the way in which different municipalities can maybe cooperate together here. Another aspect, I think, is which I didn't mention earlier about the planning process. I think it's also very important to use service users and organizations that are supporting service users to get much more information on the ground there from the people who actually are in need of support, so that their views are taken in the planning process. And I think that's a challenge, which is to use that knowledge and to evolve those people in all aspects of planning.
So if I understand well, we're talking about a bottom-up approach that is actually missing from the current organization. So to assist in ensuring a tailored and better access maybe to the social services.
It's a challenge to keep that in mind. It's a challenge to have a focus on that aspect as well. There are many examples of coordination with organizations for service users, directly with service users, and also in sort of follow-up of services there. But I think it's very important to keep that in mind.
Are you maybe aware of any efforts being made to improve the better coordination, the better communication, but also, before you mentioned, the prevention measures that could help for future social service provision?
I think what you're pointing out is really is the direction that the social services moves in now. I think that they are taking into account these things in planning there. And that there are sort of numerous examples in different parts of the country. There are numerous projects which have really sort of focused on the need to see, to see care and support as a partnership, really. I mean, it's a partnership between providers, service users, but it's also a partnership with the different providers who might come from different authorities, might come from the health authorities, education departments, social services. So there's very much a focus on coordinating services and trying to provide services that are as person-centered as possible.
Another interesting fact we've seen through the Social Services Index for Sweden is that in 2022, Sweden invested 24.1 billion in social welfare services with a focus on individual and family services, services for older persons, services for persons with disabilities, and financial assistance. Have these investments impacted the quality and accessibility of social services in these specific areas, you think?
If I can start on the negative side, I think that in general, there's a challenge with funding for social services for the different areas that you mentioned. There are sort of national reports which point to sort of municipalities. The last economic prognosis that I read from the autumn was that over 50% of municipalities think that they have a sort of a budget deficit going into 2024, that there's not enough money to provide the services in the way that they are required to provide the services. So even though the figure that you mentioned is a large amount of money, it's still not really taken into account how needs are increasing, demographic changes. But all the time, the move is towards providing services that not only meet legislative requirements, but also increased quality. Looking at also some of the responses from service users, I mean, there's a lot of surveys that look at how service users view the services that they are provided with. And if you look at the last 3 years, for instance, of reports there, there's a little bit of movement to more satisfaction amongst service users. So that in one sense, I think you can say that, well, maybe quality has improved somewhat, but it's marginal when you look at the figures. This is really an ongoing process, a struggle to find enough financing to provide the services that are required.
I have just one last question for you. From the group discussion results of ESN's Working Group on Social Services Index, we received the feedback that the tool we are trying to create is not just a milestone, but more of a necessity. In your opinion, do you think that the index could pave the way for raising awareness on the challenges that social services face in European countries, considering that what we are trying to do through this is just give an overview of the social services in its country?
I think that it's a potentially a very useful tool. We discovered also during the process, I mean, it's very important that we try to compare the same things, that it's important that it's not just a list of figures, but there's a sort of also a substance behind this that can describe the different services that are provided, the different groups that receive services or the different groups that don't receive services. It's just as important. And of course, in the European context, there's a lot of different types of organizations that provide social services. There are different degrees in which non-profit organizations are involved, volunteers are involved. And I think this is a good start to find the sort of the common ground that social services has in Europe. And you also mentioned at the beginning that the European Commission has seen this as a positive move to provide this information. And I think it's going to be extremely useful and much, much easier for the Commission to sort of gain a picture and to understand how social services are provided and to what extent in different countries.
Thank you for your answer. We will keep trying to collect data and try to present them through the Social Services Index to try to get a better understanding of how the social services landscape across Europe is structured, but also, indeed, as you said, try to engage at a European level to make these needs heard. At this point, we have reached also the end of this episode of ESN Talks, and I would like to thank you, Graham, for joining us and for sharing us all your valuable thoughts and experiences on this important topic. A big thanks to our audience for listening as well. If you want to learn more about the work of ESN on social services, don't forget to follow the link on the podcast description and sign up to our newsletter so you don't miss our next episode. Thank you and goodbye.